It was high noon when Lars Schimmelpfennig's cabin appeared among the boulders and cactus about halfway up a rocky bluff. A makeshift hovel of stones and logs, with a narrow porch jutting over the steep slope on the right, supported by posts and boulders and roofed with brush. The dry logs were cracked and weathered, the stone walls bleached and buckling. Yakima stopped Wolf in the paint a good 100 yards from the cabin, poked his flat-brimmed black hat off his forehead, and stared up the bluff, frowning. Lars usually kept coffee on the stove all day while he chipped and picked for gold in the surrounding steeples and knobs, but no smoke rose from the shack's tin chimney pipe. No sign either of the mule and the two burros he usually let graze freely on the slopes below the cabin. The old German wouldn't have pulled out without letting Yakima know. Yakima swiveled his head to look around. Nothing moved except the breeze-jostled creosote branches. He swung down from his saddle, looped Wolf's reins over an ironwood shrub, then shucked the yellow boy repeater from its oiled boot. As he did, a breeze drifted from the direction of the cabin, and both Wolf and the paint smelled something they didn't like. Holding his gaze on the cabin above, Yakima levered a shell into the rifle's breech, off-cocked the hammer, and began climbing the bluff's steep slope, meandering around the cactus, shrubs, and boulders. 20 yards from the sun-baked hovel, he stopped and held the Winchester at port arms.
Hello, the cabin. Lars, it's Yakima Henry.
The cabin stood silent beneath the blue sky and the jagged rocks of the ridge crest. The cabin door was open a foot, but Yakima couldn't see inside. He continued up the slope and climbed the 3 rotten steps onto the porch. He nudged the door with his rifle barrel. The stench was like a punch. He peered inside until his watering eyes adjusted to the darkness. Thick blood was pooled on the floor a few feet from the door, strewn with what could only be hacked up human limbs and intestines. A blood-soaked boot poked out from beneath the wooden eating table. Something was stuffed inside.
Christ.
Yakima turned away and dropped to one knee, his gut contracting at the horror. He snapped his head up, staring east of the old prospector's cabin, the direction from which the rifle report had sounded. At the same time, Yakima raised his Winchester to his shoulder.
Hold it! Next one's going through your brisket, you son of a bitch!
Yakima froze on one knee, letting the rifle barrel sag as he peered up the rocky slope east of the cabin. Amid the creosote, his eyes picked out the man standing in the shade of a large, slab-sided boulder, aiming a rifle straight out from his left shoulder. He wore a white shirt, black trousers, and suspenders. His sleeves were rolled above his elbows, and a snuff-brown slouch hat was tipped back off his forehead. Gray mutton chop whiskers and a mustache showed against the saddle brown of his face. A copper star shone on his shirt pocket.
Set the rifle down and stand up!
Yakima set the rifle down and straightened his legs slowly, holding his hands up, palms out, an incredulous look on his face.
What the hell's a lawman doing way out here?
The lawman lowered the rifle to his side, keeping the barrel aimed at Yakima. Glancing around cautiously, he began moving down the slope toward the cabin, his hat's leather thong swinging beneath his chin. When he was about halfway to the cabin, he turned his head slightly. Presently, a blaze-faced dun moved out from behind a boulder, and bridle reins wrapped around its saddle horn put its head down and doggedly followed the lawman through the chaparral. The lawman aimed his rifle at Yakima's belly as he leapt onto the porch and stopped, squinting his flinty blue eyes under his hat brim. He was Yakima's height, about 6 feet, nearly as broad through the shoulders and narrow-hipped, but a good 15 or 20 years older. His sun-leathered skin was pockmarked, his shoulders bowed slightly, and deep lines spoked his eyes. Still, he had the look of a tough son of a bitch.
You're not Apache.
He canted his head to one side.
What the hell are you?
Yakima kept his hands raised.
I ain't Apache.
You live here?
Yakima shook his head.
Friend of mine did. What's left of him still inside.
The lawman strode forward, and keeping his Henry's barrel aimed at Yakima's belly, glanced through the cabin's open door. His rugged features pinched up, and his blue eyes glistened from the stench. He turned back to Yakima.
Shirikawa?
That's what I figure.
You got a handle?
Henry.
You wouldn't know anything about 2 dead Arizona Rangers just east of here, would you, Henry?
Maybe you better ask the Apaches about dead Rangers.
The lawman shook his head.
These weren't killed by Apaches. White men killed him. An old friend of mine and a kid. And that gravels me. Might be you're part of the gang that killed him. The gang that's looking to bring down that gold shipment passing through this country tomorrow?
Yakima held the man's stony gaze.
Might be.
The man swung the Henry's barrel sideways while snapping the butt toward Yakima's cheek. Yakima flung his forearm up, blocking the blow. He leapt straight back, then swung his foot up, landing the heel of his boot against the side of the lawman's face. The lawman bounced off the cabin's front wall, dropped the rifle, and piled up on the porch. He rolled onto his back, his cheek as red as an Arizona sunset, blood trickling from his split lower lip.
Son of a bitch!
The lawman shook his head as his right hand fumbled for the walnut-gripped Colt Army holstered on his hip. Yakima stepped down on the man's forearm, clamping his hand against his thigh, then reached down, slipped the Colt from the holster, and tossed it over the railing. He picked up the man's Henry and gave it similar treatment, then scooped his own rifle off the porch and snugged the barrel against the man's forehead. The lawman froze, squinting up the barrel at Yakima, his pupils contracting fearfully.
I said I might be one of the killers you're after. I didn't say I was.
Keeping the rifle aimed at the lawman's head, he backed into the cabin and, holding his breath against the sweet, coppery death stench, pulled a lariat off the wall. He stepped back out onto the porch, held the Winchester's maw an inch from the lawman's right eye.
On your belly.
The man glared up at him.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Slowly, he did as he'd been told. Yakima dropped to a knee, set the rifle down, and quickly wrapped the rawhide around the man's wrists. He tied a square knot, leaving a good 5 feet of the rawhide hanging free.
Get up.
Once the lawman was standing, Yakima shoved him toward his horse. In a minute, he had the lawman lying belly down across his saddle and was tying his ankles together. When he'd looped the end of the lariat around the man's wrists for one finishing dally, he led the horse back out toward the boulder from which the man had fired the warning shot. In the shade of the boulder, Yakima stopped, wrapped the reins around the saddle horn, then walked back past the man's head, which hung down behind the stirrup fender. He stopped at the horse's right hip and held his rifle out like a club. The lawman turned his red, enraged face toward Yakima. His hat was back on the porch, and his pewter hair hung toward the ground. The blood from his split lip had switched direction and was trickling into his eye socket.
You'll rue this day, you son of a bitch.
Yakima rammed the Winchester's barrel against the dun's hip.
Not half as much as you.
Yakima returned to the cabin, and wrapping his bandana around his nose and mouth, stepped inside.